For this lecture, I'm going to be talking to you about the extensions to a phrase that occur at the end of a phrase, as opposed to the extensions we talked about previously, which were extensions at the very beginning of a phrase or extensions within a phrase. One of the challenges that faces a composer in writing an extension to an end of a phrase is that it's very important to make the distinction between the end of a phrase and the midst of a phrase. And since composition is not a game of keep away, but really needs to be clear and understandable, composers need to come up with ways of making clear what they're doing so that we can find out what they did and then analyze it later on. Now, the first tip off that can help you between an extension in the middle of a phrase or the extension at the end is that the extension within a phrase will come before the cadence. And an extension at the end of a phrase will almost always come after some kind of a cadence. Now, there may be a very short cadence or even a sort of an implied cadence, but there will definitely be some kind of a cadence in question. So it's probably a good idea if just for a moment we go back over the kinds of cadences that might be used. And in fact, there are three cadences which have a tendency to play a part in this kind of extension to a phrase. The first of those is the evaded cadence. And remember what an evaded cadence is. You start out by going to some kind of cadence, but then you basically kind of just turn around and go somewhere else instead of going where you thought you would go. So let me give you an example here of an evaded cadence. So we start with the cadence and then move away and then just stay in that other key where we were. That's a good example of something like that. I know it maybe sounds a little bit silly in some ways, but at the same time, many cadences will do just that. Now, a particular subclass of the evaded cadence is the deceptive cadence. And it is an evaded cadence, but what the deceptive cadence does is it goes specifically to one chord. It goes to six instead of one, occasionally 4/6. Here's an example. So I think you could hear how that just went immediately to six instead of to one. Now remember that both kinds of evaded cadences sooner or later have to come back to the cadence they were supposed to have been in the first place. That's why they're so good at extensions. The third type is the implied cadence. And remember that what that is a cadence that instead of going to a root position tonic is a cadence that goes to a tonic in first inversion. So it's not really quite as final as one would normally like. Here's an example of that. I think you can hear from this point that we can't really stop there. We'd have to keep going. And that's what helps us to create an extension at the end of a phrase. So these kind of cadences very often come into play a great deal when we're working with these sorts of things. Now, let's go ahead and start talking about then the kinds of extensions you may expect to see. More often than not, the extension at the end of a phrase is some kind of a repetition. There's some sort of element or another. And the first element that you might hear is an entire half of a phrase which gets repeated, either verbatim or with some small differences, and that helps to create the extension. This first example, which is in the handout for this unit, is a Mendelssohn that shows you the second half of a phrase being repeated almost verbatim. Here it is. So this is the first half of the phrase. Now this is the second half. And that part is repeated. This time coming to a very full cadence. It could have been done without that little extension, and it would have sounded fine. But instead, what happens is that the music moves itself to an evaded cadence on the downbeat of bar 4, and then goes ahead to expand the phrase out. And that's how you know it's not an extension in the middle of the phrase. It actually went to a cadence, except that in this case it was an invaded cadence. Let's hear it again. So again, the beginning of the phrase. Second half of the phrase. Now listen for the evaded cadence here. Okay? So then it goes to its D minor. That cadence that really wasn't stated, it also can be called an implied cadence. I think that might even be a better word for it, tell you the truth, because it really is going to a first inversion chord and then going from there. Important thing to realize is that again, he could have gone to a full cadence and he didn't. So let's listen to another example of this. And this is really interesting because in this particular example, this is a truly evaded cadence, and Mendelssohn also does the evasion not once but twice. He extends the phrase onward twice. So here is the this Mendelssohn example. So we just simply set things up. Now listen, da da dum da da da. This is now he does it again. Evade it. And one last time. All right. So you have two evaded cadences in a row, and then finally that cadence at the end that you could have had in the first place. Let's hear it again so that we're sure we know what's going on. Here, this phrase. Now, it could have come to an end, but instead it veers off. So it veers off again, here. And this time, he really does it. So it's an extension to the end of the phrase, to the end, because of the fact that where the cadence was supposed to have been, which would have been the downbeat, really, of bar 4 of this example, he moves to an evaded cadence. An evaded cadence, in this case, it's a 5, 6, 5, a 4, and then proceeds to do that twice more. Okay? And here's a somewhat simpler example of that, again using an evaded cadence. This time, it's really a deceptive cadence in this particular example, and he then repeats the phrase. This particular example is Mozart. Well, here we go. Now, this is the last half. Ba-da-dee-da-da-da-da. Evade. Okay? Right, so once again, the evaded cadence. There could have been a real cadence at the point of the evaded cadence, but instead he evades, in this case really a deceptive cadence, and then moves on. I should remind you that if you don't have a copy of the music in front of you, you really should get it. It's on the website, so be sure to either print it out or keep it in front of you as you listen to this lecture, because a lot of this stuff is a lot easier to deal with if you have the music in front of you. Now, in addition to the last half of a phrase being repeated, it's possible to repeat quite a bit less than that. And here's a good example of that, in which just the last member of the phrase is repeated, just that little cadential figure that ends it. This first one, this is a Beethoven example. This is just the melody here. Now, this ending, and repeat it. All right, it's just a repetition of that last figure. In some ways, it's like the little stutter that sometimes creates an extension at the beginning of a phrase, but this time it's a stutter at the end of the phrase. In that case, here's an example from Mendelssohn, and this particular example, in fact, manages to do that twice. Mendelssohn seemed to be fond of that sort of things. There are two extensions here, and I should mention they're both brought in by evaded cadences, in this case, deceptive cadences. So let's hear the Mendelssohn. This is the first part of the phrase, of course. Now, here, evade, deceptive, right? Evaded. And the same thing again. and now takes it to a full ending, like so. So those two evaded cadences could have been perfect authentic cadences, and in that case would have no extension. But because of the fact that they were evaded cadences, in this case deceptive cadences, we have the extension at the end. Listen to it one more time. Here we come to the figure. Here, deceptive. Again, the same deceptive. And now, it's finished. Properly. So that's another way, that sort of idea of the little stutter at the end of the phrase, which could go on for quite a ways. Now, that repetition of the end of the phrase like that, that little figure, can actually be done within a sequence. What I mean by that is that the stutter could actually be on a different scale step. That's pretty rare, you can imagine, because it would be very hard to write a phrase that ends with a sequence. That doesn't quite altogether make sense. And in fact, it only comes in places where the phrase is being dovetailed into another one coming. In other words, say it's the end of a phrase that's ending a section, and it's extended on to help pull us into another section, like a transition. As I said, it's pretty rare. Here's an example from Beethoven. It's Opus 2, number 3, Piano Sonata. Last part. And then sequenced. All right, so just that yadam badam bada is then expanded by da-dun, da-dun, da-da by the little sequence. It's not common, but it definitely belongs to the phrase, and it's definitely an extension. It's also fairly common in these repetitions for the entire cadential group itself, that is, dominant to tonic group, maybe also even including the predominant, for that to be repeated. And when that happens, it's perfectly possible for a composer to become a little bit obsessive about the repetition and begin repeating it almost endlessly, like it's some sort of, you know, psychotic thing. It usually happens as a kind of a musical humor is common, but sometimes it's just tremendously energetic. Here's an example from Haydn in which he just can't seem to stop repeating a particular little cadential group. This is mostly energy more than anything else. It's a lot of fun. So we start out. Now we get to the cadence. Now I can't stop repeating it. Again, and it's really a lot of fun. He just keeps doing it over and over and over and over. Now it's worth noticing that the cadence that is reached is a perfect authentic cadence that's reached right away, and the phrase could have ended there. He could have yum ba da 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 bum bum ba da 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 bum 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 bum. He could have ended it, and it would have worked just fine. So in this case, the extension is not being done by some kind of evaded or deceptive or implied cadence. There's a regular cadence there, but he just won't let it go. He just keeps doing it over and over and over. Here it is again. Here it is, this idea, and then again, and again, and again. Now fragmenting it, again, 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 and again. So he just keeps doing it over and over. In case you're interested, that's from the Surprise Symphony. It's the first movement. And the original is actually quite a bit faster than that. I took it a little bit slower just so you could hear what was going on. But that's Haydn Symphony 94. It's the one we call the Surprise Symphony. And its first movement is one of his most tautly and energetically reasoned compositions. That kind of extension is almost required at that point because the sheer tautness of the music makes it almost terse. And so he knows when he needs to relax that terseness a little bit. And he does it so wonderfully with these extensions. The piece has quite a few interesting extensions in it. Now here's a much shorter extension from Mendelssohn. As a matter of fact, it really is just the cadential figure that's being repeated, but it's a three-chord figure, 5-5-1, dominant-dominant-tonic, which he does twice more. This would be a very fairly normal way of repeating something. So this is Mendelssohn. Here's the figure, again and again. So that bump bump beep bump 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 is simply repeated a few times in order to get a little bit more interest. Here we go. That, repeat, and repeat. Okay, that's another way to do it. And we also have here another Haydn example, which again, like the previous ones I showed you, comes to a very full cadence. It's not implied or deceptive or evaded. It's a completely convincing cadence, but then he just won't stop. He keeps doing the cadence over and over. This is another one that has that sort of obsessive quality to it. So here we go with this. Here's the cadence, dum, bum, dun, now. Won't let it go, and won't let it go. Keeps going. All right, so he just keeps it going. That's quite, by the way, that's at slower tempo also, but I think it's easier to hear that way rather than the usual world rush. So the idea essentially is that that final chord is reached and the little cadential figure is then repeated over and over, just to make the point, which leads us into the final way of extending a phrase at its end. And that is just to lengthen the final tonic chord. We get to that final tonic and we just stay on it for a while. We don't even have to repeat it. Maybe we just sustain it for a longer time or arpeggiate it for a while, but we just lengthen it. Here's out of many examples, this is extremely common. Here's an example out of Schubert. So we begin our way into the end of the phrase. This is the, of course, the stanchion or the serenade. We reach our final tonic here. And we just stay on it. And stay on it. And just stay, 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 and stay. That's, you know, a very, very common sort of thing. You can imagine how many times you've heard that before. Here's a fun sort of thing, and for like cocktail music, right? People love to do that, so to just spin out those final tonics. So you're coming to the end of the thing, and you just don't want to let it go, so you just spin out forever. Everybody knows how to do that. Even rock bands do that sometimes. You know, they get to the last chord or something, and then all these explosions go off, and they start breaking stuff or breaking their instruments or whatever, and guitarists going nuts. It's hard to think of that as being something as prosaic as a phrase extension, but in fact, that's actually what it is. So extensions to the ends of phrases. The trick is watch for the cadences. Extensions at the end of the phrase come after a cadence. And the cadence, in many cases, will be some kind of a not quite baked cadence. It will be an implied cadence or an evaded cadence or a deceptive cadence. Or if the cadence really is a full tilt cadence, then the cadence just keeps happening over and over, or the last chord keeps happening over and over. But if you keep those in mind, you probably won't have too much trouble in telling the difference between a phrase which is extended in the middle during its course or after it's actually completed. So that's it on extensions at the ends of phrases.